The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
It is Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins. I'm Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath. The Bucks, 50 wins on the season, and it is still February. That is amazing. When teams have a kind of record like this, this early, they tend to go on to win the NBA Finals. Six teams that have started 50-8 or somewhere thereabout, even better, have won the NBA Finals. The one that didn't had a 3-1 lead in the Finals. It was the Warriors. We all remember that. The Cavs came back. And I think as we bring in Matt Velasquez from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and Matt, always a pleasure, I think that what we saw on Thursday, or early in the week, Tuesday, what we saw on Tuesday was the Raptors seemed to do exactly what it was they were doing against the Bucks last year. They were shutting down Giannis in the lane, and they were making their threes. I didn't think it was sustainable at the time for the Raptors to do that in four games. They did, however, but I think you've also seen, while that is a really hard way to win each and every time, even one time, I think you saw the Bucks learn from that series because Giannis more patient in the third. They found the outlet guys in Marvin Williams. Defensively, they were great. And if you're going to allow a team to shoot all those threes, they have to make those threes. I just thought in one game we saw, it was like the first half, we saw how bad it was, but then how much better the Bucks have gotten since then, Matt?
Yeah, I think that's fairly accurate. I think the Bucks handled it a lot better. I think there's a big difference in not having Kawhi Leonard there for Toronto. I know that they try not to talk about that and not say that it makes that big of a difference. I know Nick Nurse did everything he could before the game to not say Kawhi Leonard's name when asked about differences between the two teams over the 2 years. But I think you kind of see how big of a difference that makes. But also the Bucks handled things a lot better. You know, Giannis wasn't trying to force things. He was trying to take more mid-range shots and not rack a bunch of offensive fouls trying to, fight his way into the post. He found his teammates. He rebounded, even harder. He did what he needed to do, and their defense was able to stay consistent. The Raptors things at him like Matt Thomas doesn't really play. And they put him out there, to make three threes in the second quarter, and then he kind of cooled off after that. Last year, the Raptors made a ton of threes.
We're gonna call you. The app's kind of iffy today.
Great. All right, fun.
Yeah, I'll talk to you in 1 second. So Matt Velasquez
will be joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Kind of just joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
We're trying to make things sound sharp and clear, and normally it's good to go, but sometimes it's not. So we'll go back to 1985 technology.
A little behind the scenes.
A little behind the scenes. Matt Velasquez. All right, so where we were, Matt, with the way that they played on Tuesday, I think it calmed a lot of fears in that the Bucks can beat the Raptors, should have come down to it. And the other thing that maybe we didn't mention, they don't have that closer. They don't have Kawhi Leonard. So there were a myriad of reasons how the Raptors beat the Bucks last year. The Bucks seem to at least have the edge in 2020.
Yeah, and Serge Ibaka didn't shoot well. Kyle Lowry didn't play all that well. You know, they had a bunch. Fred VanVleet, you know, surprisingly isn't going to shoot like 70% every game against the Bucks. So you know, I thought that you know the Bucks really kind of exerted their will, especially over the last, I'd probably say, 27 minutes of the game from the 3 minute mark in the second quarter all the way through the rest of the game. They were really good. They were able to scramble on defense, help out, make steals on kickout passes. You know, find open guys on offense, do a few different things on offense. They were getting open looks. I think it helped that Giannis was able to kind of get to the corner, and he made, you know, a pretty big corner three late. We don't see him shoot a lot of corner threes, but, you know, him keeping the defense on and moving over there, you know, I think that was pretty meaningful. Chris Middleton getting comfortable into his spots and turning out in the second half, I think, was big. I mean, the Bucks have the best record in the league. I think they've been the best team in the league all year. And, you know, exercising some demons at Scotiabank Arena, I think, you know, might help them a little bit in the long run.
Talking with Matt Velasquez, Matt_Velasquez on Twitter, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, JSOnline.com. Giannis hitting that three was great. And I think that you wrote a piece on it. It was just after. It was only two games as a sample size. But when the Bucks were playing without him because of the birth of his child, he said he was still going to the gym and working on that jumper. Look, I know it's just a week of practice, but it does seem like his mid-range game, which he will need to draw on in the playoffs, it seems like just since the birth of his kid, he's almost a completely better player just in that regard.
Yeah, I think he's really been going to it a lot. We've seen a lot of those turnaround jumpers. You know, I remember there being like a little step back, you know, kind of a 15-footer against the Pistons. He's got a pretty decent amount of confidence in his just pull-up jump shot in general. So, you know, he's going there. And he knows that teams are going to try and pack the paint and make things more difficult for him to get there, and that's a way that he picks up offensive fouls. And when you're going like one-on-two, one-on-three, trying to get to the paint, as gifted as he is physically, you know, you can't always succeed that way. And so he's trying to find different ways to get his buckets and different ways to be effective on offense. And I think that's good. It's definitely a positive. It's a way that, you know, he recognized last year the playoffs. Like, that's where Kawhi Leonard got a lot of his points in that Eastern Conference Finals. You know, he was, you know, burying the Bucks from the mid-range. And because he was so proficient there, it made it hard, because that's the kind of shot the Bucks generally want teams to take. And so Giannis knows that if he can't get to the rim all the time, he's going to have to, you know, up his mid-range game. You know, not force it, but when he has opportunities, he needs to take them. And I think we're seeing a lot of that in the last four games.
Matt, I was actually really surprised that Ersan got the did-not-play coach's decision against the Raptors. Is that kind of what the rotations are going to look like right now, or is it just going to differ each game, you know, whether they go small? I really like the pickup of Marvin Williams. So what are you thinking the rotations are going to look like now?
Yeah, I think that Bud's still figuring that out. It's only been like five games with Marvin Williams. But I think that the Raptors are a team that, you know, it just makes more sense to have Marvin Williams out there. He is able to be a little bit more versatile in terms of who he can defend, and I think he's a little bit quicker, a little bit more athletic than Ersan is. So you can put him on a guy like Pascal Siakam, or you can go over to Serge Ibaka, or he can handle, you know, the Rondo, Hollis, Jefferson, or whoever it is, you know, is playing the four or the five. You know, I think Marvin can handle that. Ersan, I think you probably use him more against maybe a traditional big, as, like, you know, Ersan's the small ball option. I think there are going to be times where Ersan's going to play. I don't think Bud's just going to not play him anymore. I think he likes his game too much and trusts him. But I think that, you know, Marvin's going to have his opportunities against certain teams, and I think that the Bucks like the way he's fit so far.
Absolutely. When I look at guys that come out of Villanova, I'm a big Jay Wright fan. So, like, with Jalen Brunson, with Dante, I just like the intangibles that they bring to the floor. I just think that Jay Wright is a great teacher of the game, so I love the draft pick. What have you noticed different about Dante from this year, from last year, besides the fact that he's getting more run and he's healthy? But I just think he's becoming a great player. I mean, you saw what he did on the glass the other night against the Raptors. Good defender. What have you noticed, if anything, that's different about his game from last year to this year in his second year?
Yeah, it's funny. Bud gets asked that, you know, every so often. His answer is always, well, he's healthy.
Like, yeah.
That's great. But I think the big thing with him is that he's confident. He knows exactly, you know, what he needs to be doing on offense, on defense, where he needs to be on defense, where he can kind of, you know, read things, maybe gamble a little bit, make some deflection steals. And then he's just got a nose for the ball. I mean, no matter where he is on the court, no matter what's going on, he's going to find a way to involve himself with a play on the ball. He's going to go up for rebounds offensively, defensively. He's going to get into passing lanes. And then on offense, I think he's still progressing, but he's better as a ball handler, kind of figuring out where to get guys and how to help guys out. His cutting's been really good. He hasn't been shooting the ball necessarily great consistently. He's had stretches where he's shot it really well.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if he's doing all those other things well, I think Bud is going to be continually pleased with what he brings.
You know, it's surprising that the Lopez brothers, as we talked to Matt Velasquez, Journal Sentinel, haven't played on the same team since Stanford, because what better way to replace someone than bring in someone who's pretty much like the guy he's replacing? And obviously the similarities because they're brothers, but now that Robin takes three-point shots, my brother and his buddies, when they drink, they have a drinking game, certain things that happen in Bucks games. And Robin Lopez hitting a three was one of those things. They take a shot, and they have to take that out because now he's making threes more occasionally than just occasionally, and he's doing well there. But defensively, too, I think it's been great, because when Brooke Lopez would leave the game defensively, maybe the Bucks didn't have anybody last year that could fill that spot. Now they can just bring in his brother Robin. And the stat that blows our mind, we saw it in the Ringer this week, is for guys at the rim, the best rim protectors with percentages defensively in the whole league, it's Giannis, Brooke, and then Robin. These guys have been tremendous. How big is that, that when Brooke Lopez does have to sit, they don't need to draw on a Paul Gasol. They don't need to draw on a Thon Maker. They've got his brother. They've got Robin Lopez. Playoff-wise, I think that's going to be huge.
Yeah, I think that's really big, especially when you go against teams, you know, potentially like the Sixers or like the Raptors with Marc Gasol, where you're going to have a big physical center that you're going to need to, you know, play a lot of minutes again. So what do? No matter what, you can put in a big physical center who has the strength and IQ to, you know, handle, you know, whatever, you know, the opponent is doing, to be able to execute the Bucks' defensive scheme, get guys in position, and be there to back them up. I think, you know, Robin obviously came up huge in that Wizards game, where the defense had broken down. Everybody had gone at Bradley Beal, you know, which rightfully so. He ended up with 55 points. But everybody goes towards him, and Rui Hachimura gets wide open under the hoop, and you think, like, curtains, like, the Bucks are done. And Robin flies in from behind, you know, gets the block, and that game goes to overtime, and the Bucks win. I mean, I don't know if last year, if Brooke wasn't playing in that game, like, I would assume that with Giannis fouled out, like, Ersan would probably be in. Ersan's not blocking that shot. Like, the only thing Ersan could have done was, like, get in the way and get a charge somehow. Like, that's just not his game. He's not a shot blocker. So, you know, that's one, you know, kind of like tangible or, you know, obvious moment where having Robin as a rim protector and as that guy who's backing up Brooke, you know, is obviously a major boon for the Bucks.
Matt, looking around the rest of the East, I know the Heat, that was everybody's hot pick a couple weeks back, especially when they picked up Iggy. They're 2-5 since they picked up Iggy. They've lost 7 of their last 9. Boston's getting hot at the right time. Kemba Walker set out last night. They still go out on the road and win. Jason Tatum's becoming a superstar right before our eyes. You got to see Toronto now twice. This year's version of Toronto, you'll get to see him 2 more times. If you're making a pick right now, if who could actually challenge or maybe take the Bucks to 6 or 7 games, do you think it is that Toronto team? Because what concerns me about them, if I'm a Toronto fan, is not having Kawhi Leonard to get those buckets in the fourth quarter. They really don't have a closer, as much as I like Siakam. But with Boston, they got 3 guys that can't get their own shot off.
Yeah, I mean, I might go with Boston.
Yeah,
I know that they're just, maybe that's because they're playing really hot right now, and Jason Tatum is apparently just taking a leap, and, you know, that's coming after Jaylen Brown, like, you know, took a pretty big leap earlier this season. I think Kemba Walker's always been someone who's given the Bucks fits, just because of the way he can create with the ball in his hands for himself and for others. I just think if the Celtics go small, you know, that lineup of like Kemba, Marcus Smart, Hayward, Tatum, and Brown. You know, they're giving up some size there, but you know, I think they could really give the Bucks some trouble with that unit. I don't know if the numbers, you know, necessarily dictate that from their time together on the court against the Bucks this season, but I think that, you know, that they have options. They're versatile. They have guys who can shoot, guys who can create and penetrate. You know, they've been really good. So, but I'm interested to see, you know, what the Heat can do to kind of turn things around, kind of get themselves going. It's kind of a bad loss last night at home to the Wolves. You know, and obviously the big question now is what's going on in Philly.
Right.
Now Ben Simmons hurt for, you know, the foreseeable future, and now Joel Embiid going out with a shoulder sprain. What's that going to mean for the playoff standings in the East?
Right. And I saw a stat that the 76ers, 9-21 on the road this season, which we all know about, but only the Warriors and the Hawks have more road losses, which just shows you that in a 7-game series, I just wouldn't be able to trust Philly. And I don't see Ben Simmons coming back anytime soon with that injury either.
Yeah, and the problem with them, too, is that, you know, when Embiid and Simmons don't play, they're no one. They have no one. Like, I mean, I think their net rating reflects that. They're not very good. Probably one of the worst teams in the league without those guys, either of those guys on the court. You know, after they lost to the Cavs last night, which I think kind of just illustrates the point pretty succinctly. So, you know, we'll have to see how long Embiid will be out, because they're only a game and a half ahead of the pace. And if Embiid's going to be out for any amount of time, we already know that Ben Simmons probably won't be back for a while. We could be looking at the Sixers dropping all the way down to the sixth seed and really having an uphill climb come playoff time, depending on their, you know, health.
Matt Velasquez, Matt_Velasquez on Twitter, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, jsonline.com. Always a pleasure, dear friend. We will speak with you soon.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys next week.
Matt Velasquez on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.